Hey, my name's Kristen, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Kristen! We love you, Kristen! Lots and lots and lots!
Welcome to Wacky Paw 15 in Las Vegas. Wacky Paw is the Western Area Conference of Young People and Alcoholics Anonymous. Please help me open this meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The topic of this panel meeting is I was once anti-WIPA, and I know we have all come across our fellowship and who were anti-WIPA. We're going to hear from three speakers today who used to be in that same spot. They are going to share from us their experience on that topic. With that, I guess I'd like to welcome our first speaker, who's Dave Kay from Las Vegas.
Dave, alcoholic.
Lots and lots and lots.
Thank you. It's an honor. Aren't we going to read like chapter 5? Give me time to prep for this. Welcome to Wacky Paw. I live here in Las Vegas. Before we get started, I'm really nervous. I actually went to my hotel room, had my buddy John throw a little prayer on me. I'm a fast talker, so I'll try to actually kind of keep it slowed down a little bit. I've got alcoholism, a home group, sole purpose group. Wednesday mornings here in Las Vegas, Spring Mountain Road at the Serenity Club. Also got a home group Monday nights, Connect the Dots, Palomino Rancho. Big speaker meeting, 7 o'clock Monday nights, pretty powerful. I got a sponsor, his name's Chris, he lives in Seattle. I'm going to get into that a little later. I'm going to try to stick my story for the most part to my experience with young people's. What happened when I got sober? My sobriety day is January 29, 2000. I got sober in Mesquite, Nevada. It's about 80 miles north of here. And I come down frequently to my home group down here, which is the End Action Group, for 5 years. Every Thursday night I would drive down here. I did the dance, I believe, kind of grew up in Northern California, Martinez, Panola, Richmond, to East Bay. I went to my first meeting. I started drinking around 12, 13, or 14. It was a big fog. And so I say 12, 13, or 14. I don't remember. It just kind of molded into my life. By the time I was 15, I went to my first meeting at the Alano Club in Martinez. I remember sitting in that meeting with a couple gangbanger buddies of mine. This was through my gangster phase. And I remember they called on me to share, and I remember telling them how I need to stop sniffing all these drugs and doing all this, smoking all this dope and doing all this stuff. And I just, there was no recollection or any kind of alcohol wasn't a problem. And to understand why, because of what it did to me and what it did for me. When I start drinking, I can't stop. And when I'm sober is when I start running into problems. When I have a few drinks, sense of ease and comfort. I'm sure a lot of you guys can relate to that. And I just chased that, and I remember I went to that meeting, and then I hung out. I think I went to this young people's dance, I think in Danville. I'm pretty sure it was a young people's dance. All I remember was I went there. There were no girls that were giving me much attention, and I didn't like it, and that was the only reason why. I don't know if there were speakers or if there was a meeting or whatever. That started my AA waltz, in and out, in and out, in and out, and more out than in, really. And then when I got sober in 2000, age of 20, had a kid on the way. Brother's heading to prison for 7 years, because when we drink together, we get in fights, we start hurting people, and through that whole process. And so I'd asked this guy, Chris, to be my sponsor, and we got together. It's a really cool experience. I looked up to this guy because I saw the way he would treat his son when he came up to Mesquite, because he worked up there and he'd come to the noon meetings. And I asked him to sponsor me. He didn't give me an answer, and I got upset. I'm like, look, homie, are you going to sponsor me or not? And I gave him like ultimatum at him, and he's like, yeah, man, let's get together. Kind of like, what the hell? And we got together, and he asked me that question, Dave, are you willing to go to any lengths? And what I heard maybe the next, I said yes, and then he outlined this program of action in a home group and driving to Vegas once a week and all this stuff. And I'm like, whoa, you know, it's a little much. And this isn't what he said, but this is what I had heard. And it's where I had placed Alcoholics Anonymous as an organization. I heard him say, Dave, you've been in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous for 5 years, specifically a year out here in Mesquite. You're late to meetings, you're interrupting meetings, you're beating up newcomers, you're vulgar, you're violent, you don't have a sponsor, you're not doing the steps, the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking, you obviously don't have it. You got to go. And I don't know what he said. He probably just said, hey, how you doing? I have no idea. But that's what I heard. Because AA was, my brother's going to prison. I've been through counseling. I got plenty of friends that have gone through the psych ward. You know, these are all up here, and Alcoholics Anonymous is at the bottom. It's like the place where weak people go, where like really weak and sorry, debilitated human beings go, and I'm in it. And I'm about to get kicked out of it. And I remember him specifically suggesting, Dave, if you're not convinced you're an alcoholic, try to control your drinking. I tried to not drink and do AA without any steps, without sponsorship, without guidance, and went through the process with them. At that time in Vegas, they had what was called the Las Vegas Roundup Committee. It wasn't an actual YPAW. And I got involved with them. I was living in Mesquite, so I only came down infrequently and kind of got involved with it. It was a good experience. Specifically, I think in 2000, I can't remember the year, 2005 or 6 or 7, they started LivyPAW. Good friend of mine, Eric, we had the same sponsor. We were a couple months apart in sobriety. I think he was the first chairman of LivyPAW, him and Amaz, and I think Gina and a couple other people started LivyPAW, and they started bidding. And what happened was he was sponsoring, I don't know, 8-10 guys. He's like the leader of this organization, LivyPAW. I'm not really involved because I don't live here. And he had got on interferon for his hep C. And he started disassociating. He just got disconnected, and he drank again. And our sponsor had moved to Seattle. And it was really hard for me. It was like my closest buddy. And so what happened was I came down here, I picked him up, he detoxed my house in Mesquite. I'm actually sponsoring him at the time because our sponsor's out of town. And so I'm coming down to Vegas a lot, and I'm working down here now, and I'm going to these young people's meetings and really don't have much of an opinion. And what I saw was him getting openly kind of judged and just people throwing jabs at him. And so here goes my judgments. One of my closest friends, I'm sponsoring him. He almost died. I mean, he went straight to vodka and heroin, and he's dying of untreated alcoholism, and he's living with me. I'm trying to take him through the process. And we're going to where it is that we're safe. And I heard a speaker 2 weeks ago at my home group Monday night. And at this time, I believe she has 27 years of sobriety. And at 22 years of sobriety, she was sharing in a meeting. This lady speaks all over the country. She's on the circuit, whatever you want to call it. She does a lot of work for Alcoholics Anonymous. And she was sharing in a meeting, and what she said was she was lent some things out in the meeting that she was going through that maybe weren't the most principled actions an individual with 22 years of sobriety should take. And she's disclosing this stuff, and she's letting it out. And this lady after meeting comes up to her, and she goes, "You can't share that type of stuff with 22 years of sobriety." And she had mentioned, if AA ever becomes a place where I can't tell the truth, I'm probably not going to stay sober. And that's kind of what happened to me. And I'm going through this, and I'm really angry, and I don't know what to do. And I'm throwing judgment on everybody because here's this guy who's trying to lead this thing. He relapses. He goes back out. He's probably going to die. Most of them do. Especially having long term, it's really hard for people to get back in and really reconnect. And so I just chopped it up. And I specifically, nothing to do with young people's, nothing. They don't do the steps and all this judgment. I found out this isn't true, just the majority of them. I'm kidding. I once was and still am, at that, just kidding. And so I just kind of disassociated from it. And so what happened was, I move up to Northern California after going to Seattle for 2 years. I'm coming back down to Vegas. I'm moving with my brother. He needs some help with rent. Just lost his house. And I see this guy by the name of Isaac at a meeting in Benicia. I'm living out in Vallejo. And to see this young kid, Isaac, at a meeting. And he's really sharp, really bright kid. And he's splurting the book in the meeting. And he sounds really sharp. And I like the guy. And he's been sober, I think, I don't know, 6 months, 9 months, a year. And we get talking to him after the meeting. He's like, "Dude, you need to go over to this meeting in Berkeley, the Wild Bunch." And I'm like, you know, and so this is what I told him. I remember the words specifically. I said, "No, that's cool. My experience with young people is they all just kind of have sex with each other and nobody does the steps. And it's not really an environment to get sober in." Something along those lines. And he's like, I'm sure he's feeling guilty because I know him. I end up sponsoring the guy, so I know he's feeling guilty. I'm like, whatever, I'll go to the meeting. So I go to this meeting, and it was an experience that wasn't the experience I had here in Vegas with my judgments and the anger. And this girl by the name of Lindsay was there. She's on advisory for Wacky Paw. And she, like, sees me after. She's like, you know, some people see you in a meeting and they corner you. They might see you in the meeting and they're throughout the meeting, they're looking at you. And I'm like, shit, what's she want? You know, and she goes, how long you been sober? What are you going on? And she, like, wrote me in and convinced me to go to this business meeting at the Martina Solano Club, where I went to my first meeting for an Ebby Paw business meeting. And what I experienced was a fellowship that was guided by sponsorship, step work. And I realized, kind of looking back, that they're a lot stronger in Cali. Vegas, Livy Paw, it's kind of a virgin community. It's very new. There's not that much experience. And they're growing and they're kind of learning and whatnot. And so I walked through that and I had an awesome experience. 1 month later, after I joined the committee, they were awarded Wacky Paw. And then I was supposed to actually speak at that Wacky Paw. My mom had passed away a year ago, December 8th, about 5 days before the conference. Couldn't make the conference. And because we were putting a bid in, Livy Paw was putting in a bid for this conference. And they obviously won it. And I got the phone call. I was pretty excited. And I joined the committee. And what I wanted to talk about was what I was talking about my homegirl Keisha last night. And it specifically has to do with ego reduction. Will you give me like 3 minutes when I'm good? I was involved. I was co-facilities and co-programs on Wacky Paw on this conference, and we were having a good time, and it was great. And being of service, and my sponsor's out of town, and I'm getting no FaceTime with someone challenging me, and helping me go through my inventory and able to see what it is I'm specifically doing on a weekly basis. And I started putting reliance on the fellowship, and it's a very, very dangerous position. I don't suggest anybody do that, period. The reliance has to be on this power, and through this power, I got to go through the process, specifically 10, 11, and 12. And it was because of lack of specifically meditation. I was doing a lot of prayer, but I wasn't able to get any clarity in step 10. And my head was getting big. It was getting too big. And the power of the podium can kill people. It's really easy. I've spoke a lot. I sponsor a handful of guys. I'm going to the Livy Paw. I'm involved with this Wacky Paw thing. I got a lot going on. And there's no challenge. There's no one calling Dave on his shit. And I'm trying to open up and I'm trying to be out there. And I'm so far spread so thin that I'm losing my connection specifically to God, because I don't have anyone to channel the truth specifically. And I found out in We Agnostics where God is deep down with inside of me. If I'm not around people who can channel it, I'm not going to have that access and I won't be able to see the truth. And so I backed out of the committee. I was just a member at large. It sucked. I know some people got upset. It was real unfortunate. And what I had to do and what I've done is I joined this new group on Wednesday nights. It's a closed group. There's about 15 of us. We're going through the book, and it's really rough, and it's no holds barred. And you do what you say you're going to do, type of thing. I hate to be black and white, but this is what it's come to again. This is what I do. I get on my knees, I pray, I show up when I say I'm going to show up. I remove myself from most of the fellowship, in a sense, except my AA commitments, and I spend more time working with the guys I work with, prayer and meditation. Started a new job about a month ago, spending more time with that. Kind of had to back up. Young People's is a fabulous experience. First one I went to was in San Diego. I remember my buddy Donnie was there with me, and he's walking me through, and I'm judging every single person I see for what they're wearing. It was nuts what was happening down there. And it's like, dude, man, just relax, just experience it. And the first speaker I went to was just awesome, brought the house down. And I don't cry, rarely do I cry, and I was crying in the meeting. I cried at every speaker meeting. The energy was just electric, and it was just going through me, through you, through everything. It was very, very powerful. I highly suggest, if you're not convinced you're an alcoholic or you're not sure what the hell it is that you're doing here, I got time after the meeting, a little time later this week, and I'll jump in the doctor's opinion. And I'm sincere about that, because people really had to throw themselves in my face to let them know, or to let me know that they were available to find out what's wrong with me right here, right now, because I was floating around for so long. Leave me unchecked, and I'm just going to hang out in the corner and slowly judge myself out. If it looks like I'm getting smaller, it's because I'm leaving. I don't ever want to drink again. I know that. Actually, Sunday, tomorrow night at midnight, it'll be my anniversary, 12 years. I'm really excited about that. Gonna have a little shindig in my room. I ain't gonna give you the room number. I want you all barging in there. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. My experience, real quick, and then I'll try to pass it along to the other wonderful speakers here, is is every single day. I think it was my fourth Young People's Conference. I don't know about you guys, what has happened to you. I had all my judgments and all that crap that was going on before I actually even experienced a conference. But this will be my fourth one. Every time I go to it and experience it, I break down. I break down. My ideas, my judgments start breaking down. What's really going on with me starts coming out. I don't know about you guys, but that's a real freeing experience. Me and Daniel are going to be doing some inventory later. We did some inventory this morning with my buddy John, and he came into the room, and it's just, we're on fire, we're enthusiastic. I don't know, I'm kind of hooked. I like to say I'm hooked on YPAW conferences because they're just extremely powerful. Find out if you're one of us. Highly suggest going through the process. I found out what was wrong with me in step one and two. Step three, I made a decision to go through the process of 4 through 9. I went through that process with my sponsor. 4 through 9 is accumulated and shoved in step 10 all over page 84. Is all 4 through 9 right there on a daily basis, prayer and meditation. Step 11, and then I work with others, and I try to give back. Alcoholism is killing people as we speak, and the saddest part is it's killing people that don't have this disease. It's killing my family members as we speak. That's all I got. Thanks.
Badass, Dave. Thank you. Now I'd like to welcome our next speaker, JP from Parker, Colorado.
My name's JP. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, JP. We love you, JP. Lots and lots and lots.
It's always the most awkward part about speaking is having to stand and listen to that. Like I said, my name is JP. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is 6/24/2002. My home group is the Parker Monday Night in Parker, Colorado. And I want to start off really quick just by saying thanks to Gina. I know she's not in here, but I just love that girl. I've got to build a relationship with her, and she's fantastic. And I want to say to everybody in here, if you haven't gone and thanked the host committee, pull some of them aside and tell them thank you for putting on this conference. It's a really, really big deal, and it's a whole lot of fun, and they put in a ton of hard work. So that's what I wanted to say with that, with all that out of the way, and start with the other stuff. I was once anti-YPAW. I'm not sure that I'm not still anti-YPAW, which is really funny because I'm the chair of a 35-person committee, Young People's Committee, that's bidding for this conference right now. I don't know how I got roped. Well, I do know how I got roped into this. I'll get into that here in a minute. So I was born out in Independence, Missouri. I moved to Colorado when I was like 4, so obviously I'm kind of from Colorado. Just to make it brief, I drank a lot. I did a lot of outside issues. What happened for me is that I had this alcoholic father and this wonderful codependent Al-Anon mom. And so my house was just, it was strange. I don't know how else to put it. My dad got sober when I was 8. And actually tomorrow he'll have 24 years of sobriety. And he's actually flying up here to come to the main speaker meeting. So that's really cool. And we get to share a lot of stuff because of that today. Let me get my phone out here so I know how much time I got. Like I said, I drank a lot. I used a lot. I went to a lot of really dark places, and most of us know about that stuff. One of the ones that stands out the most is that when I was 16, my best friend was stabbed to death in front of me over a $20 bag of pot. And, looking back today, I love that hindsight stuff, because looking back today, I realized that God was sending me a message. At the time, I was like getting high and drunk on the way to his funeral, like pour out some liquor for my homies kind of thing, I didn't get it. I really didn't get it. By the time that I was 22, I had seen a lot more of that kind of stuff. I had done a lot more of horrible things. And for me, the bottom was like just kind of this fizzling out, I really just was whooped. I ended up in the Denver City jail with a Touch My Monkey shirt on. And I was not a pleasant experience. I came to after a couple of days and turned the shirt inside out after I realized what happened. Fortunately for me, this guy came in with purple velvet pants and a purple velvet jacket and a t-shirt that said, boom, 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 let's go up to my room. So I felt like I was in the clear after that. So anyway, I that wasn't the end for me, but it was just a couple months later. That was April of 2002, and so obviously in June I got sober. And what happened for me is I went on the last run or whatever, and mine in that particular case was a week, and it was a week of like not knowing anything that was going on, not answering my phone for anyone, not at that point like my parents thought I was dead. They didn't know anything, and I got a call from my lawyer, and he said, because the jail that what I got arrested with a quarter pound of meth and a loaded 45, so like I was going to prison, you know. And so my lawyer called and he's like, what are you doing? And for the first time in my life, that proverbial moment of clarity, I said, I don't know. And he said, well, I said, I don't know. What should I do? And he said, well, I think you should probably go to rehab. You know, like there's something wrong with you. And I said, okay, do you know how to do that? And he said, well, you think your dad would help you? And I was like, well, I don't know. I'll give him a call. So I called my dad and I said, I think I need to go to rehab. And he was like, finally, geez, you know, like, been waiting for that for a while. And he said, if you come home right now, I'll take you to rehab. And so I grabbed the girl that I was with and all the dope I could find and a bottle of Tuaca and was off to the house. And needless to say, none of that other stuff made it in the house. My dad locked me in the basement for 2 days while he was trying to find a place for me to go to rehab. And he found this place called Harmony House in Estes Park, Colorado. And we were on the drive up there, and I was coming down from a lot of other drugs, and I was like in and out of consciousness and didn't really know what was going on. And all I remember is that we were about three quarters of the way up there, and he got a phone call from them saying that we don't actually have a bed. And when he looked at me and said, they don't have a bed, they can't get you in until next Friday, I just remember saying, I'm not going to make it till next Friday. I got to do something now. And fortunately, my mom knew... had worked years prior with a business manager at another rehab that was like right down the street from my house and got me in there. And that's kind of where my journey began. I was that pissed off kid in rehab. You know, I was 22 years old. I was mad at the world. Like there was a bunch of old people in the rehab. And like that's what started it for me. I went to another rehab in Prescott, Arizona after that. And I got my first sponsor. And then I realized that I had just paid... Because now I had to pay my dad back, of course. So I realized I had just taken on a $15,000 debt to get a damn big book. And but that's what happened. I got a sponsor, and I was like, oh, my God, this is way better than beating on stuff with a bat and screaming. And, like, I understand what's going on in this book, especially when I'm reading it with someone else. And so that's what happened for me is that I started getting these tools through the help of a sponsor in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And so I came back to Denver. I got a new sponsor when I got back to Denver. And for me, I was really fortunate with good sponsorship. Now, they told me to stick with the winners, and I had no idea what a winner was. But I did know that there was like a bunch of these crusty old guys that would sit around, and they would be like at every meeting I went to. So I asked one of them to sponsor me. And, you know, thank God for that. Like, this guy had the best one-liners ever, and he used to tell me that stuff all the time. You know, he'd be like, well, you know, it's not, I mean, and a lot of you guys have heard this stuff, but, you know, he'd say, like, it's not the caboose that's going to kill you, it's the locomotive. You know, I'm like, okay, well, whatever. That just sounds pretty dumb. But I guess he's got a point. And he said, if you're lying and you don't know you're lying, you're in denial. I thought that was cool because I heard that in rehab, you know. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know that one. Don't even know I'm lying. Yeah. He said, but if you're lying and you know you're lying, you're just a fucking liar. So stop it. You know. If we read this part that says honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, that means you know you're lying. Just quit it. And he said, you know what, JP, you're going to go far in this program. And I was like, I got my chest puffed up. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, because you got a long way to go. All right. So it was great. You know, I got the ego deflators. I got to understand a little bit about what I was here for. Then that same sponsor did the best thing he could have told me. And he said, you know what? I don't want you to walk in front of me or behind me. I want you to walk next to me. You know, I want you to come with me on this journey. I have a solution, and I can offer it to you. It's one of the few parts in the book that I don't know if I would want it changed necessarily, but I like to be clear about it, is that when it says you can't transmit something you haven't got, that's very true. You know, but you will transmit what you do have. You know, so if your life is a shit show, that's what you're going to be transmitting to everybody around you. Just want to kind of keep everybody like on the same page with that. Don't try to be my counselor and shit when your life is in shambles, all right? So we'll just fast forward. Well, there was one other little part. So I'm 5 years sober now, right? And I'm at this, I'm on this airplane back from Washington, D.C. to Denver. And I had been flying a bunch that year, and I was in first class, and you know, they got the free booze cart coming by, and like I'm leaning back in the big reclining chair that they have in first class, thinking that I'm somebody. You know, 5 years sober, I had forgot what was going on, and this booze cart's passing by, and the first time in several years, I was like, you know, nobody would know. I'm at 37,000 feet. I could get away with it. You know what? Like I didn't. Fortunately for me, like it talks about in the book, like I had an effective mental defense because I had been through the steps, you know, and I had a power greater than myself. And I was still praying and meditating. Although I might be somewhat disconnected, I was still going through the motions. And that saved me on that airplane. What happened was is that we landed and I turned around and in the front row of business class, directly catty corner from me, is this lady who's got 26 years sober, and she's the wife of a good friend of mine. And I look back, and I was just like, oh, my God, somebody would have known. Like, she could see me the whole time. Like, I had no idea that she was even there. That was one of those experiences for me. It may not sound like much to you, but for me, that was like God just hit me upside the head with a 2x4, which is what I need. And, like, when I get into the anti-YPAW part, like, that's what I'm talking about. Like when I say that I was, because I had these old guys who taught me how to live. And they taught me how to be men in this, be a man in this program, you know, and to show up for my commitments and to treat women with respect and to be like a positive influence on the people around me. So what happened is I was on this men's retreat and there's this guy there. Like I had, I don't even know if I had ever met him before, to be honest. He's got these dreadlocks and shit, and he's like, he's fucking hurting, dude. And I can see it written all over his face, and he's trying to be this, you know, this kind of badass, you know, in AA. And like, I know everything, you know. And we stepped outside, and I was just like, what the fuck is really going on, you know. And he told me what was going on, and I had just recently been through exactly what had happened, you know. And I got to share my experiences, which is what we do, right? I like that the speaker last night said we don't share our opinions, we share our experience. I got to share those experiences, and it turned into, you know, he's like, well, hey, guess what? Like in another month, we're going to this this young people's conference, and I was like, I think I'm good with that, dude. Like Dave said, you know, they're all just running around drinking Red Bull and banging whatever, and like, you know. It's not really what I'm about anymore. You know, I mean, I did that my first year. You know, I don't need to go into that whole story, but so that's kind of where I went, and I was like, you know what, I'll go. And I went, and like you know, Andrew wrote me into that shit. And I'm truly, truly grateful. He's become one of my very best friends to this day. You know, I can't thank him enough for that. Being a part of all this and like being able to share this experience. So my first Wacky Paw was just 2 years ago in Eugene, Oregon. I was 7 years sober and I was terrified to be there, which is why I was anti-YPAW, just to be clear about that. I was scared to death of my peers, you know. I could be fine when I was the young guy in a crowd of older people, you know. I could be fine because I was different, you know. And like that's how I always want to be. That's what my disease always tells me, is that you're different. You're special, you know, like... You don't have the same thing that everybody else has. They're not like you, you know, and that's what happened for me. And when I came here and I got to be amongst my peers, and I was 3 days there, probably the third day there, I remember sitting with my friend Dustin next to me, and we were sitting in the main speaker meeting, and like, they were screaming, somebody was screaming from the podium, you know, it was like this giant transvestite, and I'm like, I've not been to this, you know what I mean? So I'm just like, oh my God, what is going on here? And he's screaming about, is everybody having a good time? And everybody was cheering, and me and my buddy Dustin were sitting there like, oh, you know what? Like, by the end of it, I started to have fun. I started to be a part of. And what happened for us is that we were standing in the hallway, and Andrew and I started talking, and he was like, how much fun would it be to have this conference in Denver? And I was like, well, I mean, I can't think of any better place for it, you know? And he said, you know that this is going to be like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 year process, possibly? I'm in. You know, and I've learned how to keep those commitments. And while I want to quit every other week, I still show up, you know, because that's what I was taught to do. I'm like, I know for sure the next position that I'm going to take, like I get to decide what position I'm going to take. I know for sure the next position I'm going to take is going to be the, you know, area liaison because I'm the DCM in my district and I have to go there anyway. You know, like that's my thinking on it still, you know, even being the chair of the committee right now. I'm like, I'm going to be like Eddie. You know, every year is going to be my last year. Hey, where is our banner, by the way, Eddie? Where is our banner? I know you have it. Call you out in front of everybody, buddy. I love you. So what happened, and I'll be real quick. I got just a couple minutes, right? 2 minutes? Okay. What happened was is that I live in an area that's got a whole lot of very, very conservative AA. Right, and so like these guys that are like past regional trustees, past Area 10 delegates, all this stuff, and like I'm doing all this stuff, and the thing that I got out of being 7 years sober before coming to Young People's is that I get to sit there and I don't have to defend Young People's AA. I get to tell them what we're doing. I get to have fun with it. I get to ask them questions. I get to learn new experiences. I get to learn from them and what they think, and I get to talk back with them. You know, and tell them what I think and what I feel and how I feel that we are AA. We're not part of, we're not separate, we are AA. We're not the future of AA. I'm a DCM in my district. I am AA right now. Like, there is no difference, there is no separation. The problem that I see the most, and I don't want to cause a whole bunch of controversy, is that we actually separate ourselves. It's not us against them. It's that we back away. I would get into that a whole lot more. Eddie and I figured out all the problems in AA just a couple weeks ago. If you want to know about them, come talk to us after the meeting, and I'll tell you what you got to do to fix everything. So that's all I got. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, JP. And finally, please help me welcome our last speaker, Lacey G. from San Marcos, California.
Hi, I'm Lacey. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Lacey. We love you, Lacey. Lots and lots and lots.
I never, ever thought I would hear that again. So, I have a sobriety date. It's December 27, 2000. I have a sponsor. I go to meetings. That's a good thing. And I'm going to tell you a little bit, my first drink, I was about 6 years old, and by the time I got to AA, I was broken, and I had tried everything to stop drinking, and nothing worked for me, and it was the last house on the block for me. So I got to Alcoholics Anonymous when I was 13 years old. I was broken, and... I got sober at this little house with a bunch of old guys, and that was kind of all I knew. I didn't know that other, like, I hadn't figured out yet that other young people were sober. I didn't know that there was, like, such a thing. I didn't know about Acupaw and Wackypaw and any of that stuff. You know, I was just this, like, little kid basically trying to stay alive, and I did, you know. I went through the steps with my first sponsor, and she was the youngest person that I had met. She was 18 when I got sober, and she took me through the steps, and she took me to my first conference. I was maybe like almost a year sober, and we went to Akipa, and I don't remember where it was, but I remember suddenly I was in this room with like 3,000 other young people, and they were all screaming, and like it was crazy. It was the craziest thing, you know. Like I suddenly had this feeling that, you know, when I got sober, I thought my life was over. This sucks. I'm never gonna have fun again, and I accepted that, you know, because I wanted to be sober more than anything else. And then I went to this young people's conference, and it was pretty amazing for me. I went back to San Diego, and at the time there was no young people's committee that was active in San Diego. So, you know, that was my like one experience with WIPA. And there was a group of slowly, like, I started meeting other people who were getting sober, who were younger, and we kind of like formed a little group, and it wasn't we weren't a committee or anything yet. But we used to have dinner on every Sunday, and you know, that was like, it was so good. It was so good for me, you know. I enjoyed being around other young people at the time. And something happened for me where suddenly, like, a lot more young people started getting sober, and there's a committee in San Diego that was called GISTIPA. And what I did was I thought, you know, there was this little, like, rivalry between, like, North San Diego and South San Diego. And so, like, GISTIPA was the South San Diego, and like North County had no, like, WIPA committee. So I thought, because I'm, like, the hero of AA, that I was going to go join GISTIPA, and eventually they would all, like, see my point of view, and we would move to the middle of the county, and we could all get along, and it would be super awesome, which did not happen. And I was crushed because of it. You know, I thought like that I could like help solve this problem of, you know, we don't have a committee, and I wanted to unify everyone. It would be great. And it just didn't happen. What happened was North County decided to start their own committee, which like, for some reason, it really made me, like, super pissed off, you know? Because here I was, like, trying to be a hero and trying to save AA and trying to save all these young people, and I was going to be awesome, and we were all going to get along, and then they started their own committee, which, you know, just, like, I don't know. So it kind of set me off, and I remember their very first committee meeting was at a Denny's, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to go to see what happens. I'm just going to go see what they have to say. And there was a guy, we love him, he was awesome. He was on our committee, and he said, basically, like, let's just start a committee so we could throw parties. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to keep sitting through this committee meeting. It's going to be okay. you know, and everyone was like, yeah, let's throw parties. Let's just start this committee and throw parties. And so... you know, so that's how GISTIPA started, if anybody wonders. They just wanted to throw parties. And but I actually, like, I had some anger management problems. And during that meeting, I kind of threw a fit. I ended up throwing something and leaving the Denny's. I threw some stuff. I yelled, and I left Denny's. And GISTIPA's very first bid for Akipa was a video of their first committee meeting where somebody played me in the video as way more dramatic than it actually was, you know? I promise. Much more dramatic than it was. And this is I was a WIPA hater at this time. Like, not, like, I want nothing to do with young people. I don't want to be part of your conventions, your committees, like, anything. And then I found out they had played me in a video for their bid skit, and set me off even more, you know. And What happened, though, was, like, suddenly all my friends are on this committee, and we don't have these small little family dinners on Sundays anymore. There's, like, 25 young alcoholics who are trying to get this thing started, and they want to stay sober, and they're on fire for AA, and I'm sitting over here being a super hater on everyone. Because I just didn't want to be a part of something that I thought they were doing. And so it kind of went on like that, and I couldn't really, like, I couldn't stay away. The thing was, like, I couldn't stay away. All my friends were being a part of this committee, and so I would, like, be on the sidelines. Like, I'd go to their events, and, like, one year for their bid, like, I took their pictures for their bid package and, like, put them together secretly, but I didn't want anyone to know that I was helping. And so I was basically, like, doing behind the scenes, like, helping on this committee for a while, and still just, like, hating. Like, when I told all my friends that know me even still today that I was speaking on this panel, they all laughed and said, "But aren't you still anti-YPOT?" And, you know, it's really funny. But what happened was NastyPaw bid for AccuPaw, and they won the conference. And I still, you know, was kind of behind the scenes, but all my friends suddenly every Sunday were having these committee meetings, and they were doing stuff, and they were talking about it, and it was all I heard about. And there's this host committee, and their commitments, and everyone was doing something, and people from GistyPaw and, like, NastyPaw were together. Finally, they're like, everyone was working together, and I was still sitting back here, just like I wanted to be, like, at this point I think I just wanted to, like, be different and special, and I just didn't want to join in, you know. And what happened was, a couple of months before the conference, I went on a camping trip I basically got put in the car, and they said, "Just get in the car, we're going." And I went on this camping trip, and it was in Arizona, and it was for AccuPaw, I think, something like that. I don't remember. But I went on this camping trip, and I was like, the whole time, the whole car ride, like, "This is not going to be fun. I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want to be here." And they just said, "Shut up, get in the car. Just shut up, get in the car," you know. So I went, and it changed something for me. I met some really amazing people while I was there, and something just, like, clicked inside of me. And when I got back to San Diego, I decided to join their host committee for AccuPaw. You know, I wasn't, I didn't have some big commitment. Like, I just stopped fighting. Like, finally, I just stopped fighting. And that conference changed my entire sobriety. What you're talking about being in a room with, like, 3,000 people, like, screaming and yelling, and, like, there's something really, really powerful about it. And for me, I think I finally realized, like, how important YPOT is. Like, it's saved so many lives, you know. And my friend Samantha, on my way here, you know, she, like, somehow I end up at WackyPaw or AccuPaw. Like, somehow I just end up here every time. Like, I don't plan on it. I wasn't going to be here. I wasn't going to speak. I didn't know, you know, and I didn't want to come. And, you know, I got a phone call, like, "Hey, can you speak on this panel?" And, like, I can't say no. I can't say no to this request. Like, it's an honor and a privilege to speak in Alcoholics Anonymous, is my opinion. And so, you know, and my roommate was like, "Here," like, he flies a plane. And so we, like, got in the plane and, like, came over here, and I have a room, and, like, it just all worked out that way, you know. And once I stopped fighting, basically, like, my whole life changed, you know. And I'm able to finally participate and realize how much Young People's AA does in their areas and how much it saves lives. You know, at 13 years old, when I got sober, I thought my life was over. And I'm really glad that, you know, I stayed around and I finally stopped fighting, even though it took a really long time, to be able to, you know, have this experience with every single one of you here, you know, at this conference and in general. So I don't think that was a whole 20 minutes, but that's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you. The Wacky Paw 15 host committee would like to thank all of the conference participants and attendees. I'm just so freaking glad we're all sober. That is so badass. Is Lori here? Is Lori in here? I got to find Lori. She's a badass. Thanks for asking me to be a part of this deal. This is the first time we've came. We're from Montana. We don't know. Yeah, yeah. We got like, no, none of this stuff, but it's so nice. I'm appreciative of everybody telling me to open my mind, and that's cool. Thanks for making this weekend possible and magical. The next panel meeting in this room will begin at 4, and the topic of the conference is controversial issues in AA. And Josh, I've now asked Josh to read a vision for you.
Yeah. My name is Josh, and I'm an alcoholic. Thank you. You're right, it never stops getting awkward. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to us. Ask him in the morning meditations what we can do for each day, to the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and we will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you until keep you until then.
All right, we'll close in the Lord's Prayer. Thank you.